The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfume oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sister sent the word to Jesus saying, Master, the one you love is ill. When Jesus heard this, he said, This illness is not to end in death, but is for the Lord, the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.
Sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after he said to his disciples, Let us go back to Judea. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.
He said this and then told them, Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him. So the disciples said to him, Master, if he sleep, he will be saved. But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him. So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go to die with him.
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to see Mary and Martha to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know, whatever you ask of God, God will give to you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise. Martha said to him, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world.
Take the stone away, take the stone away.
When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, The teacher is here and is asking for you. As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but what still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
Take the stone away. Take the stone away.
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Sir, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it.
"Take the stone away, take the stone away."
Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out."
"Take the stone away, take the stone away, take the stone away, take the stone away."
The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen what he had done began to believe in him.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Please be seated. Good evening. I would like to welcome the confirmation candidates and their sponsors and their parents and guardians who are here. And I hope you heard in our gospel story a story about Lazarus, a good friend of Jesus who died, but yet alive again after the end of the story. And I want you to think about this. Think it deeply in your heart and your mind that only Christ can confront death, no one else's. Only Christ can confront death. It's not an easy talk or topic to talk about death because it talks about separation, it talks about heartbreaks, loss of a loved one, a friend. But what is important for all of us, especially Christians, or not just Christians, human, we are all seeing death in many ways. Grandparents, boyfriend, girlfriend, spouses, children. And this is the normality of life, but yet Christ is teaching us something in here. In all our death that we experience in life, Christ is always involved. And after death, there's changes. And I want you to think about this. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha accompanied Jesus to the cross. Jesus is going through Judea. He's ready to go and be crucified. Mary, Martha, Lazarus was there. But also, I want you to think about this. Jesus allowed his friends to enter in his life. There's only two recorded instances in the scripture that Jesus was scolded. Number one, the wedding in Cana, Mary said, "Do whatever he tells you." What it means, "Jesus, do your job. Give me some wine." Did you hear something in the scripture today that kind of Jesus was scolded by another person? Can you guess? I can Google it later if you want. When the sister of Lazarus said, "If you were here, my brother will still be alive." She was reacting because of grief. The grief that really captured their heart in a different way. Change happens when there's death. Also, I want you to think about this. Who in your life accompany you? especially tonight, we are the sponsors of our candidates who are here. You are accompanying these teens in their journey of faith and also in their life. And as teens, thank you for your courage for letting be part of your life. Again, the good thing with these sponsors, you can ask gifts on Christmas and birthday and confirmation day. You don't know that? Try it. They'll give you everything you want. You allow them to be part of your life. I remember you guys. This is my second year here, so I knew you when you were first-year candidates in confirmation. I think God is telling me you stop talking, Marlon. I knew because the thing is, when we both together walked in this church, and I met you, I bet you in your head, who is this priest? Is he cool? Is he mean? Or is he boring? And I said to myself, who are these kids? Where are you from? I get to know you more and more. One kid is from Servite. Do you know where Servite is? I don't know either. The thing is, you share something about your life for me. And here, you've written something. You've written something about confirmation covenant. Can someone in this class can tell me what a covenant means? Oops, I thought you were raising your hands. I'll give you $5. What is a covenant? What is the word covenant means? Thomas, come up here. You're my brother, you know? My brother from another mother, like Brady. Are you shy? Awesome. Whisper to you if you don't know the answer. What is a covenant?
A promise.
A promise. Now, stay here. I'll give you another $5. You're making promise to what?
To God.
Okay, good. Also, a promise that helps you to discover who you are in front of your family and friends and also your church. I owe you $10. Brady will give you then. Okay? Covenant is a promise. I want you to think about this. You're making a promise that God will be part of your life, that your family will be with you. But that promise sometimes will go fade because you have to go through life in different times, like death, confusion, and doubt. And you know what? What I learned with that is just like Lazarus. Jesus said, it's okay. That's the second time. I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm talking about you. A promise that you will give it to yourself. The last thing I want to share to you, I was at the Religious Ed Congress this weekend, and I met a friend of mine whom I never seen for ages. We went to the seminary together back in Toronto, in Canada, and we started talking about our early days in the seminary. And part of the training in the seminary is it's a 5-year process. In the middle of your program, you have to go to a parish to be trained as a priest. And I was assigned somewhere in Toronto, and then I was assigned with this gentle, kind priest. And he is very effective with visiting the sick. That's why they assigned me there, to put some gentleness in my soul, I guess. And for 3 months with that internship, we've been visiting the sick every Friday. For about 5 hours, we travel and visit the sick. So after 3 months, you or Marlon, it's my time to visit the sick alone. So I went and visit this elderly woman. So I was so excited. I couldn't sleep because, yeah, I'm going to pass this test. I went to this place, an apartment complex. I entered her building, and then we prayed, and then I gave her the body of Christ. After she received the body of Christ, the elderly woman collapsed in my chest. There was no cell phone then, so she collapsed on my chest, and I said, oh boy, Marlon is in trouble. The phone was on the wall, so I was carrying like this, And I was screaming, help, help, help. But everybody's at work during the time. Until someone, the neighbor, heard me saying, help, help. Finally, the person called 911, and then they arrived. Luckily, she survived. But after 2 hours, I was still on that scene, and I was like literally exhausted. And then when I went home and drove to the parish, and the pastor was just like jumping, what happened? Are you okay? Are you happy? I think, tell me the story. All I could say to this pastor is, you have no idea what I've been through. My very first assignment, this person almost died. And that was the closest death that I could experience in my life. Her name was Monica. That story remains in me until today. That was like 10 years ago, but yet I still remember that. What I can give it to you. All of us in our lives, we have Lazarus. All of us in our lives, we have Monicas. Whoever that person is that God lets you encounter that person, I want you to be grateful for that, or grateful for them. And whoever that person in your life, let God, and tell God, they may be blessed by God's Spirit every single day, because here we are as a community, we pray for one another, like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Death will never be escaped us, because even the closest friends of Christ experience death. Not just physical death. My last point is, whatever you need to let go in life, let it go. And let God enter in your life. For those candidates who are here with us, I am excited for you, because your faith is so young and fresh. It's not wounded yet. Take care of that faith. And the guard and your guardians of your faith is your sponsors and your parents. In my doubts and my confusion, remember me as well. In my doubts and my confusion, remember all of us adults who are here, because we are here for you. Are we good? So Thomas, see me. I will give you $10 later. Thank you, brother, and thank you all.